Yes, time to shine on this Wednesday morning. As we say before, people say that this is hump day. There's no such thing on SEN. We talk sport every day, and we love it. There's no quiet day. There's no... Now we're supercharged ready for the weekend. We are broadcasting through the SEN network, including 1170 AM here in Sydney, 801 AM Central Coast, 1575 AM Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith, 1323 AM in Canberra. Great to have your company. Let us know how cold it is this morning. It's not that bad, is it? Is anyone walking around Lake Burley Griffin this morning? How cold is it? Anywhere in the world on the SEN app, want to hear from you. Was it yesterday we started the day? Our first text was from Christchurch. Our second text was from Scotland. How good is that? The reach of the breakfast program. Hello also to those listening belatedly via the podcast. Don't forget, if you miss any of the show, you can subscribe to the Breakfast Show podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. I was on the Central Coast yesterday, actually. Ran into some of our listeners through 8.01 a.m. Listening to the program. So great to have your company. Now on a Wednesday, it's a 17-man woman game these days. So normally when Brandy's not here on a Wednesday, James Magnuson would step up to the plate. Now James has got the spicy cough. So he's out. So now we go to our next player on the bench, but would start at any other club in the league, I'd believe. Michelle Bishop from Channel 7,
has got her start. Proud to wear the 14.
Yeah, now actually, let's just attack an issue. Currently working out a contract. You did sign a contract with SEN, but you're saying you're going to hold out into the off-season before you actually commit. Is there some dramas there around your contract, Michelle?
Look, let me tell you, I'm just leaving it all to the manager. The manager can work it out. But I hope I've got a smart manager. But hey, how good is it to be at work this morning? It's something Ricky Stewart can't do.
Well, that's right. That would be very interesting. The monitoring of Ricky Stewart. Do they have to actually... Look, well, it is a serious issue. But
very
yes,
serious.
You do make a lot of... You wonder how this is going to work. Is there going to be a little undercover agent watching him and... from a distance, stakeout style. So I'm just checking to see, do they tap his phone?
I bet you there'll be a few members of the media camping out. Mm. That's for sure.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? Now, okay, so here's why we're talking about this. Just if you're not aware, Ricky Stewart been handed a $25,000 personal fine. So it's not the Canberra Raiders. It's Ricky Stewart being fined $25,000, a one-week suspension. After the NRL yesterday, he confirmed his punishment over the comments he made in relation to Jamin Salmon after the game on Saturday night. So the fine is a personal fine and can't be paid by the club. He'll be unable to provide direction to his players, coaching staff and officials until 4 p.m. next Tuesday. It means he won't be able to have any say whatsoever over next week's team list, nor around the preparation for the game. Now, you do wonder, so Michelle... But that doesn't mean a player can't call him.
I'd say many players will be giving advice.
If they just want to have a chat. How are you, Ricky? How you doing?
Look, I think that it's a fact that he can't go near the joint, so not to the centre of excellence.
Yep,
he obviously won't be allowed at the game, GIO Stadium. But, I guess he can catch up for coffee. There's a little cafe just down the road from GIO Stadium. Maybe a coffee or two there. But, look, he has got three very capable assistants in Mick Crawley, Brett White and Andrew McFadden that will take on the duties. Interesting to see that they're not going to nominate any one person to step up into Sticky's role, which I think is probably a little bit of a sign of respect internally. So those three people, as I said, will share the roles. Even the pre-match and after-match presser, I'm really keen to see who'll get that role. I can't see Mick Crawley being at the after-match presser, so that'll be left to either Brett White or Andrew McFadden. But such a huge game, this one too. It's a must-win against the Dragons.
Look, not that it's not that this is the huge issue, but as a league nerd, as you know, Michelle, years ago, Frank Stanton stepped away from this. I'll have to stand corrected, but Tigers fans would remember Frank Stanton during a season went overseas as an invited guest to the Challenge Cup, which meant he missed a game, missed a whole week of the Balmain Tigers season. In the record books, Keith Barnes came out of being the CEO at the time, or the club secretary, to coach the team.
Vaguely remember this.
Keith Barnes, in the record books, it shows Keith Barnes was, and won, so he was 1-1 that season. It goes as a game of his coaching record. and Frank Stanton has one game less in his coaching record. So does, I just want to know from the league stats, man, we may have to get Wally on the line or a David Middleton. Does Ricky Stewart, the fact that he has nothing to do with the team, this week's game doesn't count towards his overall record?
Well,
is that a fair point?
You're going to get technical. Well, how can it be a fair point?
Well, he's not the coach.
But
he's
who's
not
the coach?
He's been banned.
So all of a sudden, Brett White, Andrew McFadden and Mick Crawley become an NRL coach for a couple of
for
hours.
One week.
A few days.
Yes,
one
they
week,
would.
Seven
but
days.
Ricky Stewart can't be credited the game in his thing because he's not coach.
So where does one less game. Where does that point go if they win the following week against Newcastle because he can't pick the side?
But then he's the coach. At the game, at the actual game day, he's the coach.
Yep, you're right.
He's the coach on the game day. So I'm saying that he drops out of that because he's got by this ban, he's got absolutely nothing to do with the team. Now, Andrew Abdo, CEO of the NRL, spoke yesterday about how they'd reached the punishment. Let's have a listen.
It is completely unacceptable for any person in the game to use language like the language Ricky took used on Saturday. It's unacceptable regardless of the context or the circumstances or any matters that might have occurred of a private nature. It's unacceptable for someone to speak like that. This fine is for Ricky in his personal capacity, which means he has to pay the fine, not the club. A head coach has made inappropriate comments in a public forum. My job is to ensure that the rules are upheld. In this particular case, the rules were breached. We've dealt with it.
Yeah, the Panthers issued a statement yesterday saying they fully supported the punishment and that they believe there is no place in the game for such comments. If you missed our program yesterday, Michelle, our listeners, if they missed the segment with Lee Hadjipantelis, 100% black and white case of defamation. So, look, I don't know whether Jamin Salmon wants to go down that path, but you know, maybe they're... there could be more.
Yeah.
But that's from Lee Hadjipantelis, who obviously knows his stuff. Listened, watched, examined, 100% black and white case. Doors shut. You'd have to reach early settlement. Wouldn't even get to court.
I actually spent a fair few hours out at the foot of the mountains yesterday. Very, very touchy subject. You know, obviously spoke to a few of his teammates, and it's still pretty raw out there. But I will say this morning. I've said it all the way along. He got it wrong in terms of the platform. He did get his let his emotions get the better of him, and it's hard because I do know Ricky personally, and I know that he is a big family man. And look, as a friend, he got it wrong. The NRL's pointed out that they were inappropriate comments in a public forum, but I do have to ask the question: the fact that he only got a week and a $25,000 fine, that tells me something around the conversation and the background. Obviously, I'm privy to sort of what's gone on, the conversation that he has clearly had to the Integrity Commission. You know, I think it's far more than an incident from 12 years ago and a couple of kids at a footy match. There's obviously a long history. And I think that reflects in the NRL's punishment, the $25,000 fine and the 1 week suspension. But just to lighten things a little bit this morning, because it is quite a serious topic, on Tom Starling and his situation, he's clearly recovered from that kick. He's caught, you know, he was in pain. It was terrible, but he was the centre of attention here and he hasn't even been mentioned.
No, well, please help me. Tom Starling, he's orchestra stalls, helicopter glancing blow on the head. I thought it was on the very minor scale if we're just talking football. If that's all that happened and there was no mention after the game, we wouldn't have got a text or call on that incident. It was just so minor. And he copped a fine for it. Now, just some audio out of the Canberra side of things. We have Don Ferner, the CEO of the Raiders. We have Jordan Arapana and Elliot Whitehead speaking yesterday.
He's obviously very disappointed. And he's embarrassed, and he's just going to have to put it behind him and move on, and we'll all support him as an organisation. We've got measures in place to support them, and we'll support him.
As you know, he's come out and apologised, and wishes he hadn't said those things, but look, as a group, we've got to support, and we're just here to play footy and get on with it.
He knows he probably should have said it in that platform, and he's upset that he let his emotions get better of him, but like I said, as a team, we need to focus on what we need to do this week.
They're well prepared. They spoke there, Jordan Rapiner, Elliot Whitehead, the last two voices you hear. Now, do you agree with the punishment? Now that we've had it locked and loaded, has the NRL got the balance right? Personal fine and one game ban. I appreciate what you're saying, Michelle, and we do know the what happened 10 years ago of a serious nature, but it's 10 years ago. It's outside the boundaries of the NRL. It has nothing, it has precious little to do with the NRL. Jamin Salmon, has he had any contact with Ricky Stewart in the last 10 years? No one's been able to tell me there's been any. And then people push in an argument that Ricky's defending his family, but Jamin Salmon, I don't think, was threatening the Ricky Stewart family the other night. I don't think when he's playing a game of football representing a rugby league team. So have we got the punishment right? 0457 736 736 on the text, or you can have your say in the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. I got to say, really, though, there isn't a right or wrong here, because this is it's just extraordinary circumstances. Covered the game for 1,000 years now. Never had anything like this.
No.
Was on Jared Waitley's program yesterday. AFL's never had anything like this. I don't think we'll ever have this ever again. So,
big lesson.
What is the... I don't know what could possibly be. It's outside football. It's outside rugby league. You know, it was a post-match conference talking about Canberra versus Penrith. And that's where we ended up. So, listeners, have your say. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. By the way, some stats. Would you like a stat, Michelle?
I love a stat. You love a stat.
Well, a fair bit, yes. This is thanks to Rugby League Project on the Canberra Raiders record v the Dragons. Without Ricky as coach, 16 wins, 1 draw, 6 losses for a 69.56% success rate. With Ricky as coach in Canberra v Dragons matches, 5 wins, 7 losses for a 41.67 success rate.
Ricky, get comfortable in your lounge room.
Yeah.
Dragons fans are, yeah, okay. Wow.
Just tell you that. Now, Isaiah Papali'i, did we see this coming? Here we are thinking, all right, Parramatta, Tigers, Concord, Parramatta, Concord, Parramatta.
Yeah. Very messy.
Now there's a little wild card in there. New Zealand, the Warriors. What do you know about this? You got any mail on this? So his partner is a netballer in New Zealand, living in New Zealand.
That's
is that correct?
Correct. Has been over there for possibly a 2-year stint now. So yeah, wow. I didn't see this coming, but I suppose when you're exploring all options to get out of a situation that you're clearly unhappy with, I want to know where Andre Ponga is in all of this. And this is the problem.
Sorry.
For Isaiah.
What?
Well, a clause. He should have had a similar clause to Kalen. Like Kalen had every clause known to man in his contract. So clearly, I think his manager's got this one wrong. And if it was all about the coach and he was so focused on playing under Michael Maguire at the West Tigers, it should have been a clause in his contract. Buy beware.
Look, there was no mention of the partner there in the interview grab we ran yesterday. They were talking about, I signed with Madge. No mention of the partner. I you know what? I'm going to be accused here of being a really hard ass and no compassion. But I'm having no compassion. Because he signed with Parramatta like 2.5 years ago, has come over.
Yep.
Then while he's at Parramatta, he has signed with the Tigers. So he knew what he was doing. I'm sorry to be a cynic, but I often find that compassionate grounds comes into the picture when there's also an offer. So I'm going to say, no one will confirm this out of the Warriors, but I think the Warriors have made an approach and you put together the pieces, the rest. Suddenly compassionate grounds, well, now we can play that card. I reckon the Warriors have seen that there's, well, okay, well, he's why not we have a little crack, a little third-party crack? I'm sorry, but rugby league delivers this sort of stuff. Compassionate grounds card gets played when there's already an offer there.
Bossy, if I'm the West Tigers, I don't want a bloke who's going to stand in front of the media and be non-committal. I mean, how does Adam Dewey and Jackson Hastings feel about him lining up, alongside him next season? Jackson Hastings might be a bad example for that because not sure where he's going to be despite contracts. But, I mean, how do the Tigers feel, the players, wanting to have a player that's so non-committal? I mean, he's signed a contract.
Michelle, what if the Warriors don't want him? So how does compassionate grounds work? I want to go back to New Zealand, but the Warriors don't want you. So what are you going to do? What are you going to play? So I'm saying compassionate grounds comes with there's already an offer. So the Warriors obviously have done a little bit of digging here, and that I look, just reading between the lines, I think this is going to snowball, and then the Tigers' hands are tied. The poor old Tigers get their hands tied. The Parramatta, there's no empathy there at all because they've lost him. They didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, but in terms of...
I can see the Tigers getting it, you know where, here.
Well, the legal side of this, if the Tigers stick to their guns, and they're, of course, renowned for that and exploring all their legal options, 1-800-848-848, Brydens, they'll be all over it, reporting back to the board where exactly the Tigers stand on this one.
No, but it's like the mental health card. Once the compassionate ground card is played, you know, the poor old... Well, actually, people might say, actually, well, it's about time the Warriors had one go their way, if you want to argue. There, that many people that, you know, Matt Lodge
That's
and Reece Walsh,
Walsh
and Ewan Aitken and all of that, that didn't realise that New Zealand is actually another country and have pulled out. So maybe this is the universe getting back into alignment and giving the Warriors one back. But have your say on that. Compassionate ground. Are you cynical of this story? 1-300-01-1170. Text 0457-736-736. Yesterday was Team List Tuesday. If you want to buy into the teams and another round of footy, round 22, you can. Now, in tennis, Michelle, Serena Williams, I think this is it.
Yeah. This is
what you read here, that it seems like this is the end.
Yeah, well, she's penned an article in Vogue magazine, and look, it's the most bizarre bit of reading I've done in quite some time, because she's really at pains, really struggling with it. She doesn't want to use the word retirement. She's using it as a transition. She says for her, there's no happiness in the topic at all of retirement. She's obviously been trying to have children. If you read between the lines, she's got a 5-year-old daughter, been trying to have another child over the last 12 months and hasn't had any success with that. So she's kind of, you know, at a crossroads and needs to make a decision, and that's what she wants to do. So, big decision, and it'll be awful for all of us to see her, you know, go off into the distance. But family first, I suppose. And a little 5-year-old daughter's been at her and at her to be, you know, wants to become a big sister. So, you know, that's where she's at.
There you go. All right. And then AFL, we've got a retirement there. Josh Kennedy will be retiring at the end of the season, 16 years in the AFL, 34 years of age, 2012 Premiership player. And just some sad news in the cricketing world overnight with the death of renowned umpire Rudy Kurtzen. The 73-year-old and three other people were killed in a head-on crash in South Africa after returning from a golf weekend. He was famously labelled the slow finger of death during his career. Bill Laurie was commentating one particular slow finger of death decision. Have a listen.
Oh, close, 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 his hand's moving, it's going, he's given one.
His hand's moving, and up it comes. Rudy Kurtzen. No, but very sad, tragic circumstances, passing away, age 73, killed in that motor accident. Tributes have poured in from around the world following his death. So get on the open line right now. Open the batting or come off the long run. You choose. 1-300-01-1170. If you want to buy into the topics we've discussed, the Ricky Stewart penalty, suspension, what do you think about that? This is the place to talk sport. SEN, we're all over the place. If you're listening on the SEN app, we're around the country. Indeed, we are around the world. Welcome to Wednesday. Vossi and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.